What up, though? It's time to get smart. We have an author, an art historian, a professor, Jonathan Feinberg, author of Modern Art at the Border of Mind and Brain. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
All right, so what made you write the book, and what's it about, briefly?
Well, I think I've wanted to know for my whole life why it is we are making works of art after 30,000 years. You know, the written language is only 3,000 years old, rather. That's 10 times longer than we've had writing. And I'm asking myself, with all the electronics, everything else we got, why are we still making images? And it took me this long to figure out an answer for that. I think we need it in order to develop the brain, and I think I can now prove it.
All right, so you can prove that art helps develop the brains. All right, so before cats could, like, write a sentence, or was that before spoken language as well, or is it just written language?
Well, of course, we don't know when spoken language really started. Probably it's not before that. But, you know, there are those caves in the south of France. There's a bunch of caves they've discovered with paintings, you know, really sophisticated, beautiful paintings that are 30,000 years old. And if we look at the history of written language, the oldest thing we can find is about 3,000 years. So we've been doing this a long, long time, and we're still doing it. And if we're still doing it, you have to assume there's some good reason for it.
So what? So your theory is that it helps make people smarter?
It does a number of things. Yes, it makes you smarter. You know, if you want to get really good abs, you got to do some sit-ups, right?
And, that's right.
And
then throw up after you eat. So
you don't have to do that many of them. But anyway, but you know, if you want your brain to work, you got to exercise it. And works of art are very sophisticated. If you think about what is the most complicated thing that the human brain produces that it doesn't have a specific purpose, you got to go to a work of art because it's really complicated and has no purpose at all. And so, you know, and we don't have the technology now with all the sophistication of MRI technology and, you know, x-rays and all the different things we have for looking at inside the body. We still can't see the anatomy of a thought. We're nowhere near that, right? So if you want to really understand what is going on in the brain and how the brain works, it seems to me you take the most complicated product of the brain and you look and see how it was structured, and then you get an image of how the brain structures something. And that's what I think is so important about works of art.
What does that mean? I don't even know. What does that mean? Like,
well, you know.
So a work of art is an example of how the brain structures something? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
A work of art is a concrete example of how your brain puts together pieces of something. And, you know, when we see, if you and I are looking across the room at, you know, at something in here, and we see something that's we can probably agree is more or less the same, and we start talking about it a lot, it'll start to look like we both are seeing different things. The truth is that what we see that comes through the eye is probably only 20% of what we see. What we actually see is processed at the back of our head in what they call the visual processing centers, and it's a combination of maybe 20% of things that come from the eye, but also all the memories of other things that we've seen in the past, and feelings that we have. And if you look at a scan of the brain when someone's looking at a work of art, you see, of course, what they call the visual processing centers light up. That you can see the brain working very hard to handle the visual material. But all kinds of other things light up. There are areas of the brain that we know are about just touch, tactile sensations, and those light up just a little bit. And there's other things in what's called the frontal cortex, which is where all the connections in the brain take place. So,
all right, so let me jump in here. So art, basically, when you look at that shit, you're experiencing it. Okay, I see a blue picture, but also you got all these memories. Like when I was little, there was some blue shit that happened, and all of that is banging around in your head. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And you know, let me tell you a funny story. There was an article in one of the science journals year before last. They took 24 radiologists, really highly skilled doctors, who are used to looking for lung cancer. And they showed them, these 24 doctors, they showed them a whole bunch of slides to look at, to examine. And they were looking for, they're used to looking at lung nodules, which are very small. And Superimposed on the last of these slides was a picture of a gorilla that's 48 times the size of a lung nodule. And 83% of these radiologists didn't see it.
They didn't see the gorilla because they're so busy looking for the fucking, for cancer.
Yeah, well, you're right. So there you, what it tells you is that, you know, what we see is based on a lot of complicated things. It's not just visually what's in front of us. It's how we process what's in front of us and how we, what we've seen before that looks like it. Our brain, when we see something, we're always looking around the brain trying to figure out, what does this mean? What is this? And, you know, if you're in nature and you can't process in a creative way what's in front of you to understand what's in front of you, you're going to get eaten. Right?
By a motherfucking tiger.
That's right. So
So isn't kind of everything art then? Like everywhere you go, you're looking at shit, breaking it down. You look at the trees. That shit is pretty. You know what I mean? Like, isn't everything technically art? Did they like put a fucking toilet on the wall and was like, hey man, this is some art right here? Like,
okay. Well, so what you're saying is true of all of the process of seeing. But what a work of art does is it creates a complexity that you can't resolve exactly. And the great works of art are the ones that are really tough to deal with. That you look at a work of art, you don't know what it is. You think it's not art at all. It's you don't understand it. And in the process of having to figure out what it is, you're developing connections in the brain that you didn't have before.
So like when they dropped, like them cats was doing like the big ass orange blocks on the wall, and it was like, this is some art that was good for cats is other people's brains. Is that basically it? No.
Well, let me.
Did I just simplify that too much?
Well, I would have to know which orange squares
you're
talking
about.
You
know, when the motherfucker was just like I don't know. Like I'll take my cousin to these museums, and he'll be like, "This is some motherfucking bullshit. It's just like a fucking retarded child could do this with finger paints and throw it up on the fucking wall. Like, why is this in the museum?" And a lot of times I'll be like, "I don't know, because it looks like some bullshit to me too." But you're telling me that is the good art?
Yeah, probably the thing that you hate the most and you think is the stupidest and that a kid can do it, probably that's going to be the stuff that really is important. And the reason is it's going to be important because you're having trouble figuring out how to put it into a box. You know, you got in your head a bunch of cubby holes and you're trying to figure out, what is this thing in front of me? And if it fits in easily, it's not very challenging. You're getting nowhere on that. You're not going to develop your abs on that one. So what you need is something that is so difficult that you walk in and say, oh, man, that is so ugly, or, you know, that is not a work of art. Well, you know, work of art is all the things that we think are art. There is no sort of objective definition. It's a matter of what really exercises the mind and develops your creativity. And that's at the heart of this, is really what's so important, is that ability to be creative in interpreting what you see.
All right, let me ask you this. A lot of cats want their kids to do better for themselves and stuff like that. Is there any like types of art to show children when they're developing that might be a little better for them than others? Have you done tests with this?
Oh, there's lots of data on that. A lot of people have done tests on that. There's a number of things I would say about that. One thing is, it's very important to let a kid draw freely and let them direct the traffic. So you shouldn't go in and say, what is that? Or that is a such and such. Let them tell you. Because it's really important for children to have the freedom to use the art to try and bring coherence to their experience. You know, to take all the things that they see in a day and make some sense out of it. You know, kids are really, kids are doing something miraculous. You know, I've got a nephew who was very verbal when he was young, and as he was in the middle of toilet training, his father said to him, you know, if you use the toilet, you don't have to, you won't have to wear a diaper anymore. And the kid looks at him and he says, "Can I take my socks off too?" You know, and
that's what I do when I'm fucking. Like, I don't even like to fuck with my socks on. Right. His kid sounds like how I was. Right. All right, go ahead.
So the kid is trying to figure out what things go together. Well, you know, for you and I, that's funny because those two things don't make any sense together. But for him, he's looking at the world and he sees all these different things and he's trying to make some kind of coherent structure in his brain about what it is he's seeing. We're all doing that all the time. It's simpler to see in a kid, but we're all doing it. And if you take a work of art that is really difficult for you, that makes you mad, or makes you think some kid can do it, and it's, you know, someone's pulling it over my eyes, those are the ones that make you really work hard, and that's really great for your brain. It gives you more creativity.
So kind of like that argument, all art is good because everything's going to be different. Some shit might be easier for other people, while the other shit might be difficult for me. It might be easy for you, so therefore that art is good for me but bad for you.
No, that's not exactly right. I mean, there are kind of standards of problems. You know, if an artist is just doing cliches that everybody's seen before, that's kind of worthless. And truthfully, most art is like that. Most of it's not.
I was going to say, like, that's what I feel like I'm looking at half the time, Jonathan. I'm like, man, I've seen that shit before.
Well, then it may not be any good, and you should trust your judgment on it. But when you haven't seen it before, or when it makes you mad, if it really brings up some kind of emotion that is disproportionate to what you're seeing, because the art doesn't make any difference, right? So if it's getting you pissed off, really pissed off, it's got to you in some way, and you need to figure out what it's doing and why you have that reaction to it. It's complicated.
Should people take their kids to, like, my mom used to take me to the fucking, we were dead broke, but she would take us to on the free days to the museums and stuff like that.
Great.
Was that good for me?
Oh, yes.
Was that good for me?
Look where you got.
Look at me now. Yeah, I'm a fucking shock jock. Yeah. I just cracked a dick joke to a professor.
No. Look at you now. You're doing great. So, you know, she did the right thing.
So let your kids draw. Show them art. And take them around that shit, and it's going to help them.
Let them experience things, you know. Let them talk to your kids. Talk to them a lot. Ask them what they're feeling, you know. Don't tell them. Ask them, and you learn a lot.
Does art inspire? What's that type of thinking when you think outside the box, like creative thinking and shit like that? Does it inspire that for kids and stuff?
For everybody, it's terribly important. You know, if you look at the cover of this book is a painting by a French artist by the name of Jean Dubuffet, and if you actually look at that picture and you try and figure out which lines are on top of the other lines, you can't actually figure it out. It's impossible to really structure that work in your brain. And in the process,
bullshit. I'll figure it out. Well, I'll figure that shit out.
And give
bro.
Me a call, will you? So it's really hard. It's hard. And
all right, the process is. What were you saying?
So the process is making. So when your brain goes to solve that problem, and it's a problem you actually can't solve. There is no real solution to that problem. Your brain goes all over the brain searching for pieces and putting them together in ways it's never put them together before in order to solve the problem, which maybe it can never solve, but learning that elasticity, the ability to try and put it together in a different way, makes you a more creative person. And it makes
you. So this is kind of good. Like, art's good if you don't feel like reading a fucking book. You can go look at that shit and get smarter.
Yes. That's true.
Awesome.
But I think reading is good too. But
I mean, you are selling a book, so you buy the book, Modern Art at the Border of Mind and Brain. Jonathan Feinberg, I want to thank you for coming by and sprinkling us with some knowledge, man.
Thanks for asking me.
Anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to hit on briefly?
No, I just think we really need works of art. And why is it it's taken me all 50 years to try and figure out why? Well, now I think I know.
Bam. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Yep.